Check out the Hog Talk Podcast, the newest addition to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. Find it on hitthatline.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Check out the Hog Talk Podcast, the newest addition to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. Find it on hitthatline.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Hog Talk Podcast is brought to you by Heinemann Services. Heinemann Services is a family-owned and operated business whose work ethic and customer service will restore... The Hog Talk Podcast is brought to you by Heinemann Services. Heinemann Services is a family-owned and operated business whose work ethic and customer service will restore your confidence in handymen. They offer interior and exterior projects for your home or business, including repairs, installations, small remodels, landscaping, decks, fencing, and much more. Call Corey and his crew today at 479-
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you could still be in on the action at betonline.ag. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. And there's always the online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag. Today, take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag. Sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
You're listening to the Hog Talk Podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network.
With us on the line is the voice of the Arkansas Razorbacks, Chuck Barrett.
A former guest of the show, Coach Mike Nabors from the Arkansas women's basketball team.
We have from ESPN's Around the Horn, highly questionable. Also a two-time Dan Le Batard Show SUI winner and a former heptathlete at Cornell, Sarah Spain.
And we are happy to be joined by Martrell Spate.
Mr. Phil Elson, the voice of Razorback baseball and the Ladybacks.
Bailoa is pretty good at this quarterbacking thing. 20 touchdowns. Boy, it's good, this running back thing.
Oh my, 3, 2, 1, yo, what is going on, Arkansas Razorback fans, SEC fans everywhere, welcome. Welcome, I'm Ty Hudson, the Friday host and co-creator of the Hog Talk Podcast. I hope you guys are doing well. I hope you've had a wonderful week. A lot of news, a lot of stuff going on. And we'll get to all that and more. But if you guys would, either, you know, now or maybe after the pod, you rate and review the podcast. That would be excellent if you could rate and review the podcast. Goes a long ways. And hey, feel free too to leave us a written review. We love reading those. Some of them are just downright hysterical. They're pretty funny, some of them, not gonna lie. They are. They're pretty funny. But no, we do read them and we enjoy them. And we do appreciate you guys being a part of what we do here, downloading and listening. Porter will have the women's sports update for you guys on the Monday show. So for those of you who are looking for that, that'll be provided for you on Monday. Porter's going to get you all caught up there. He does a great job. Speaking of doing a great job, how about Kyle? He'll be interviewing Adam Spencer, newsletter editor, writer, columnist, occasional podcast co-host for Saturday Down South. And also, according to his Twitter bio, he is a corgi dad. You can follow him on Twitter at AdamSpencer4. You can follow him there on the old Twitter machine. So that'll be coming up next. Kyle will be interviewing him. I am going Han Solo on this Friday show. Good grief. I hope you guys are just... I hope you're doing swell. 2020 is about over with. It's been a wild ride. I am, like so many of you, counting down the days to just end this year. And it's not like magically 2021 pops up and it's all better. I get that. But it just kind of feels symbolically like 2020 just needs to stop. Just stop it already. You're so mean, 2020. We do have Discord questions. That'll be the last portion of this segment. That'll be the last thing. So I'll get those to you. I always look forward to reading those. I'm going to make sure I proofread this time. I have my swear jar. I have my swear jar here, too. Hopefully I won't need it today. Well, maybe I will, because the first thing I'm going to talk about is Rakeem Boyd. Rakeem Boyd, he opts out. You guys know the story. He opts out, and he's not going to play in the final games with the Razorbacks. And I'm just a little bit disappointed when I read on Twitter. I get it. Twitter's the place where anybody can go and say whatever they want behind a avatar, behind a anime, Japanese anime pictures, and their favorite Razorback profile picture. But they won't usually don't always give their real names. Keyboard warriors and what have you. I get it. They're going to have – everyone has a right to an opinion, as someone was reminding me on Twitter. No kidding. No kidding. But when you have a take like this on YouTube – this was on my YouTube channel. I'm not going to say their name, even though it's not a real name. But he says, glad his butt – and he obviously didn't say butt. He used the other word. I'm trying to – hey, look, I don't want to have to put any more money in the swear jar. Glad his butt is gone. Rakeem ran scared to hit the line hard. Only a D-bag. I will say that. I don't think that's a swear word. Only a D-bag quits at the end of the season. Break a leg, Rakeem, literally. Someone like that. And believe me, there were much worse. There were some other, on Facebook and Twitter, there was some really bad stuff. I'm not going down. I don't feel like vomiting right now, so I'm not going to read all that nonsense. If that's the way you really feel, if that was more than just an emotional reaction, you need to reevaluate your life. I don't know. Go to church on Sunday nights, Wednesday, assuming you're able to, assuming you're allowed to. Seek help. Maybe see a professional. Because that's sick. That's disgusting. And look, I'm used to it. I've been on social media for a while, like a lot of you have. I've been a Razorback content creator for a number of years. I've been on two podcasts. I've seen some really bad comments. Some stuff that's just like, wow. And Hog fans are emotional. I get that. We have a special attachment to the Razorbacks, and sometimes it leads us to saying things that we will and typically do regret later. I hope, God willing, we have some humanity in us. I hope that individual, first off, I hope they don't delete that comment. Keep it up. Own it. And then come back later and say, you know what? I had an emotional reaction. That's my bad. I wish Rakeem nothing but the best. We need to find our humanity on social media, especially amongst Hog fans. I have higher expectations for Hog fans, because if I didn't, I'd just walk around depressed all day if I took everything I read off social media to heart. And I don't. That stuff is ridiculous. It's over the top, and it's absurd. If you really feel that way, because a young man is making the decision that he feels like it's best for him and his, you need to wish him the best. I have no problem with people who are just a little bit let down or disappointed that he's walking away right now. We also don't know the entire story. There's rumors everywhere coming from all angles, including even local media. Look, I take everything I hear anyways with a grain of salt, and that's the way we all should. Rakeem hasn't come out and said why yet. Maybe he will later down the road. He's got players and teammates supporting him on social media. And I think fans should be supportive as well. I get it. Social media is going to be a place where people spew whatever they want. And you have a right to an opinion. I'm not saying that you don't. I have no issue with someone who's just a little bit let down and disappointed he didn't finish the year out. But wishing someone that they literally break their leg, please reevaluate your life. I don't know. Find happiness somewhere. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know what else to tell you. Find new friends. That might help. That's my two cents. Okay, let's get into the good talk. Let's get into sports, the thing that we're all here for. Arkansas, last night, they got a win over UT Arlington, the Mavericks, who are now 1-3, 0-2 on the road. Arkansas wins this thing 72-60. It was not the prettiest of two halves. It was definitely a game of two halves, but although Arkansas was clearly the dominant better opponent, you know, I came away feeling like, all right, look, 70% of that game, Arkansas, there was no doubt that this team, there was no doubt really from the first half to the second half they were going to win this thing, but the way they closed it out was just ugly. Ooh. Oh my gosh. It was not a pretty second half. Connor Vanover, who only logged 20 minutes, Jalen Williams logged the other 12. Your starting five were Vanover, Smith, Tate, Moody, and Seals. I thought Moody, I mean, look, it goes without saying. The guy nearly had a double-double. He's getting better every week. 9 rebounds. He had 3 offensive rebounds by himself, 6 defensive, 24 points. You know, did get into foul trouble there a little early. He also logged an assist. Everybody that rotated, they rotated 9 players. Everybody but 2 players had an assist. Has that happened yet this year? Because I honestly don't know. Arkansas ends this game with 8 steals, a grand total of 43 rebounds. They shot 40% from the floor, 25 of 62 there, 7 of 21 from three-point range, so just under 34%, and they shot almost 79% from the free throw line, 15 and 19 there. I'm a little bit surprised that, you know, Jalen Williams didn't really, his 12 minutes, he wasn't worried about trying to score. And I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. What was interesting was, well, you had Jackson, who was offensively was just nowhere to be found. 0 for 3 from 3-point range, 0 for 5 from the floor. He had no points, and he logged 20 minutes, but he did end up with 5 rebounds. He had an assist as well, but he did turn the ball over a little bit there. There's some things they still got to work on. I'm going to tell you this right now. Part of what happened, or the reason, they definitely backed off. Connor Vanover, I don't even think he played beyond 6 minutes to go in the second half. You know, they didn't. I think they scored 2 points in the final like 5.5, 6 minutes or something. It was not good. They cannot do that in conference play. You can't do that against a non-conference opponent like Oklahoma State. You're not going to be able to do that against there's some other teams before you get into conference play you're not going to be able to do that against. But there's a reason why those final minutes were as bad as they were. Vanover was not on the floor, who's been a key guy. I mean, he, good grief, 12 minutes, 5 of 6 from the floor, 2 of 3 from 3-point range, 2 rebounds. He had a steal, 2 blocks, 12 points. Right, you go, he only logged 20 minutes. He didn't play in those final minutes. They were still rotating guys. Coach Musselman is still trying to find the right chemistry. And that's why this thing got ugly. By the way, those guys they played were deep. What'd they rotate? Like 14 players? And their bench logged some minutes. They didn't get a whole lot of productivity, at least from a scoring angle from their bench. They had Carter, this guy, come off the bench. He had 16 minutes on the floor. He had a couple of offensive rebounds, and that was really it. And he turned the ball over, and he had 2 points. But that guy logged 16 minutes. Probably their most productive guy off the bench was Griffin. Griffin! You Family Guy, old school Family Guy fans out there. Griffin! He was 2 of 5 from the floor, 0 for 2 from 3-point range. He was 4 for 4 from the free throw line. He logged 8 points, had a couple of rebounds. He also had a steal. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's pretty productive. But they rotated so many players. They were deep. They were really deep. But what's exciting is just the size that Arkansas can play with, and we saw that last night again. They're just trying to find the right chemistry. Wasn't super stoked that KK fouled out. I was a little surprised. It was so quiet, I'm not going to lie. It was. I had no idea he was even at 4 fouls when he fouled out. Not a whole lot of productivity there from him. But he did knock down a 3. He did have an assist. Seals last night. It's good to see. If you're going to get 31 minutes on the floor and you're going to struggle 0 for 3 from 3-point range from out in the perimeter, you're 1 from 6 from the floor, you only get 3 points, it's good to see that you can make that up with 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, and only 1 turnover and 2 fouls. You're going to live with that. 31 minutes, you're okay with that. And Seals, I don't think we'll have too many of those sub 6-8 point games. I don't think that'll be a thing. I think Seals will get it figured out. Again, it's about chemistry. It's about finding who works best together. Moody, definitely the player of the game. Again, almost a double-double, 24 points, 9 rebounds. Smith last night, not enough talked about him. He had six offensive rebounds. Six. You know how many UT Arlington had total as a team? 10. You're going to get second chance shots this year, baby. They're going to have second chance points. It's going to happen. You're not going to get 17 offensive rebounds a game. But you come anywhere near close to that in SEC play, and you're still rebounding well on the defensive side of things. You're racking up 12 assists. You're getting 8 steals. You know, I think your blocks on average, look, they've got 4 in this one. Connor only had 2 blocks. That's probably going to be like his low ball games or 2 blocks, right? He had 2 blocks and a steal with those 12 points, 12 minutes. You're getting a point per minute in 12 minutes. You're going to take that. I liked what I saw. 70% of this game, Arkansas played great basketball. I mean, I played really, really good basketball. Maybe not great, but really good basketball. They led by double digits most of the game. And again, they ended up winning by double. They ended up winning by 12, 72-60. Yeah, so 3-0. You're the only 3-0 team in the SEC. Nobody else is 3-0. The closest is, Alabama at 3-1, who people predicted to finish higher than Arkansas. We'll see. Georgia's 2-0. Mizzou's 2-0. A&M's 2-0. LSU's 2-1. The LSU old money bags. I can't go a show. I cannot go a show without throwing shade at LSU and that cheating basketball program they have. Speaking of cheaters, you're going to have to play Oklahoma State later on. Pack of cheaters over on going to play them on January 30th. That'll be your toughest non-conference game. Next up, Arkansas going to play the Lipscomb Bisons. That's on the 5th. I love Wednesday basketball because then it's like, oh, yeah, and a couple days later you got another game. I love that. That's what I love about basketball season, man. It's not one game a week. I love it. I love it. I love it. So Lipscomb will be an interesting matchup. A quick breakdown on them. They are 1-2. They've lost to Cincinnati, Tulane, and their only win this year is against the Lamar Cardinals, who are 0-3. Is that right? Are they? No. They were 0-3, I guess, at the time. Anyways, they play in the ASUN conference or ASUN. That's their standings. Is that a conference? What is that? Again, they are 1-2. Jacksonville. They play with Jacksonville, North Alabama. Liberty is in that conference. Florida Gulf Coast, North Florida Stetson. Currently, they are 1-2. So that's what's next up for the Razorbacks. I wasn't planning on doing a breakdown on them. I was going to skip right into football, but trying to see if they have what they look like size wise. They have a center who's 6'8", Ashawn Asadula, who this year is averaging about 12 points a game. A little bit of height underneath him. He looks like he's their starting center. He's averaging right at about 7 rebounds, 12 points. He's shooting about 52%. I'm sure we know how he's probably getting those if he's a big any 4 or 5 guy with that kind of percentage. You think he's probably a lot of dunks, but they look like they got a pretty decent roster in terms of the amount of players. Okay, moving on. Razorback football. On to this one. Arkansas right now. Yeah, you're not picked to win this one. Mizzou by 3. ESPN's Football Power Index has them at 60%. No surprise there. ESPN, no surprise, 60.1%. Let's go down and look at these guys really quick. Let's compare side by side. Mizzou is 4-3 overall in the year. Arkansas sitting at 3-5. By the way, their quarterback at home, this guy throws Bazelak. Bazelak, is that how you pronounce it? I always mess up names. That's what I do here, people. He throws for like 76% at home. He is a really accurate quarterback. He just doesn't get it in, he just doesn't get it into the end zone a whole lot. That's what they use the running back for. That's what Roundtree's for. Points per game. Let's go. Arkansas, 20, almost 26 points a game. Mizzou at 24. Points allowed. That number's come up. It's come up since you played Florida. You know, Arkansas, they beat Tennessee 24-13, but then you lose. You got this two-game losing streak coming into this game. You've got this overall losing streak to Mizzou that just should not be there, but it is. Yeah, you're giving up points. It's starting to go north. They're at 31 points a game given up for a while. I think Arkansas was at like 23, 24. Mizzou at 25 points a game. Total yards, Arkansas gets about 395 to Mizzou's 403. They average about 267 through the air a game. Arkansas at 252. Believe it or not, even with Roundtree, they've only been at about 136 yards a game on the ground, Arkansas at 142, which that honestly is surprising. I thought it would be like 155, 160 in the neighborhood, somewhere in there. Defensively, they've played pretty good football. They're giving up only about 349 yards a game to Arkansas's 427. If they have a weakness on defense, if you want to talk about them having a weakness, their secondary gives up about 230 a game, just south of that, and 121 on the ground. Arkansas gives up almost 100, and well, it's right at 179 yards a game. Roundtree could have an absolute game. Arkansas gives up also 249 per game through the air. Roundtree, you've got to find a way. I don't know how they're going to do it. You are going to be healthy. This is the good news. Arkansas is returning. It sounds like they're going to be close to full strength. You had some time to prepare for this game. I'm not shocked that ESPN favors them to win. I think it's going to be I think it's going to be a low scoring game for the most part. Maybe Mizzou kind of finds a way to pull away. I do think Mizzou wins this ball game. I just, Arkansas, you know, their defense has kind of gotten exposed a little bit. And I know the LSU game, it's understandable. I get it. Florida, you could even argue, look, Odom was the guy. He was the head coach from start to finish. He didn't get to just concentrate on his defense. He had to be the guy. And I agree that had Pittman been there and had Arkansas been a little bit healthier in the LSU game, I do think scores would be different. And I do think you'd have another win in your win column. I think Arkansas would be 4-4 right now. I think they would have beaten LSU if they were healthier up front, and I don't think you would have given up so many points to Florida had Odom just been the DC and had Pittman been there. Had Jalen Catalon not get kicked out of the game for a bogus call. I'm sorry. Maybe it was people are convincing themselves it was the right call by the rules. It's just a bad rule. I don't care. Whatever side you're on, we all agree he should be playing in this game. He should be playing in this game in the first half. He will have to sit out the first half. That's a blow. That makes me a little bit concerned. But then it also makes you feel better because he's going to come in the second half. You're going to be able to make whatever kind of adjustments you need on defense because now they're going to have to – Mizzou's going to have to account for where Catalon's at on the field. Catalon right now is like a level 3 playmaker. I've put together – that's how I'm doing this. I'm like contributor, right? Like that's just a guy that plays. Probably not going to get drafted. And you got playmakers, right? But there's levels, 1, 2, and 3. I'm just trying to be creative. I don't know. Like a level 3 contributor is a borderline playmaker, right? A level 3 playmaker is a borderline difference maker. A level 3 difference maker is like Darren McFadden. Like Matt Jones, like first round caliber players. Catalon is a level 3 playmaker, baby. Catalon is a difference maker almost, and he's going to play in that second half, and Mizzou better watch out. You've got a couple of good linebackers at Arkansas that are also pretty bad to the bone, Bumper Pool and Morgan. How about those guys? Should be all conference when it's all said and done. When the dust settles on the year, they should all three, Catalon included, should be all conference. I'm tired of the disrespect. Bring it on. This is a must-win game for Arkansas. It's a must-win game. I don't know that they play Bama, but if you do, I don't think they do, but if you do, if you lose this game, you are looking at a 3-7. Look, I'm happy about 3-7 because I had them at 2-8. You're well beyond where people thought you were at. But now there's a difference between a 3-win and a 4-win conference-only season. I'm like I said on my live show on the PTN, I'm tired of being the underdog. I'm ready for the respect. Imagine the respect if you could find a way to get four wins this year. You play a bowl game. Hopefully you win that. We're talking about a five-win season. In a year where you were expected by most in national media, local media, to be lucky to win a single conference game. We're talking about five possible wins. You get set up by doing that against Mizzou this week. It's a big game. It's a game about respect. I'm sick and tired, and I know these guys are too. All you guys out there in the audience, the fans, were tired of losing to teams like Mizzou. Who would have thought 10 years ago you would have a losing streak to these guys? I'm tired of it. Let's bring it on. It's time to beat these guys. This is the week to do it. I just don't think they do. They got to prove to me on offense. They've got to get it together. On offense, we've got to see some damn consistency. Where's the jar? Where's the swear jar? I put it somewhere. I don't know where it's at. Just pretend like you heard me put the quarter in the swear jar. You've got to get some consistency on offense. Play calling has got to improve this week. Call me an armchair quarterback. I don't care. I think everyone and their dogs agree that the play calling has got to get better this week. Rushing, the rushing offense has got to find itself. Mizzou's pretty decent against the run. Okay, they've got some backers. They got some linebackers that can play pretty good football. You're going to have to establish the run in this game. They're secondary. They don't get a whole lot. They don't force a lot of takeaways. I think they have four fumbles on the year and like two picks. They do not force a whole lot of turnovers, right? I think on the year, how many sacks? What are they at? Let me look here. What are they at, 11? Oh, no, they're at 15. They've got more than Arkansas. Arkansas is tied for second fewest sacks on the year, by the way. That's got to change this week. Or at least that projection needs to be altered. You need to get in that backfield. And Bazelik, who's I think, a freshman, 147 out of 209 throws, 1,622 yards, five touchdowns, two picks. Again, at home, this guy throws like 75%. Overall, he's a almost 71% pass completion guy. Throws a lot of high percentage throws, like hitch routes, slant routes, things like that. They'll toss some screens in there. Time of possession in games like this will matter. Eat up the clock, and you do that by establishing the run. Time of possession is just atrocious. I mean, Arkansas is just terrible. I think it's like 24 minutes a game or something. It's so bad. And Mizzou, a game like this, establish the run. Figure out a way. Look, they only give up a buck 21 on the ground per game. Do not let Roundtree break loose. Roundtree can beat you in a couple of different ways. Don't let him do that. The guy rushes. He's got 650 yards on the year, eight touchdowns. Time of possession matters. Yeah, Connor Bazelak, 147 out of 209, 70% overall on the year. His longest for 69 yards. He averages about 8 yards of completion. Again, it's a lot of high percentage throws. They don't usually like to try to stretch the field, but I think they're capable of doing that. They also have Tyler Beatty. This is another guy that can beat you in a couple of different ways. 41 carries, 160 yards. He averages about 4 yards a carry. Two touchdowns on the year. They're not really getting it done through the air, but it seems like their offense is starting to come along. Beatty, by the way, 20 catches out of the backfield. This is the running back. 20 catches out of the backfield for 302 yards. He averages 15 yards per reception with two touchdowns. Beatty is going to be someone you need. Assuming he plays, I don't see an injury report with him on it. But they've got a couple of different weapons, and they're going to be able to open things up. Roundtree can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's only got 10 catches, 57 yards this year, no touchdowns. Special teams are going to matter. Oh, that gives me the shivers saying that. It gives me the shivers. I'm concerned about special teams. This could be one of those games where it comes down to that. But, yeah, I do have Mizzou winning this ball game. I do. And my score, my prediction, is 29-21. My faith, probably higher than the LSU game. I think I said I was at like a did we decide we're going to do color? Green, yellow, red, orange. Orange being, or red being absolutely no trust in your pick. And then green being, I can't remember. I don't remember if that was here. We talked about that over on the Pig Trail Network. I can't remember where and when I said that. But I didn't have a whole lot of faith in that LSU pick. And this one, I feel a lot more confident that Mizzou probably finds a way. I hope they don't. Nick Bolton over there, 76 tackles on the year, 2 sacks. He's got 4 pass breakups. He's got a fumble recovery. Is that him that was smack-talking on Twitter? Is that who that was? Oh, buddy. Our linebackers over Mizzou's any day. We're rocking it with our linebackers. The talent there is far better than I thought it was. On the year, again, they don't have, they've got a grand total of 15 sacks. They've got more than Arkansas while playing just 7 games. Keep that in mind. They've played 7 games to Arkansas's 8. So they will come after Felipe Franks, but you can slow that down by maybe finding a way to stretch out your time of possession. For the love of God above, if you're connecting deep, if the deep passing is happening, don't stop. Rip them to shreds if you can. Again, their defense is pretty salty, but still, I think if Felipe Franks, who's one of the most accurate deep ball passers in the country, I think with someone like that, you ought to feel pretty good. Let's look at their third down percentage. They're at 44, almost 45%. Fourth down, Arkansas defense has not been so hot on fourth downs. Mizzou, 9 of 15. That's a 60% fourth down conversion percentage. That's pretty good. And they will go for it because they know Arkansas's defense. They struggle against the run, and they struggle on fourth downs. Fourth down, they've got a guy in the slot. He's probably going to run the slant route, and they do. Converted. That's happened too much this year. Special teams going to have to back off on the penalties. Just not too thrilled about what we've seen from Fountain in year one. Hopefully they get it all put together in this one. Okay, next up, let's do this. Discord questions. I'm going to try and make these quick. I'm going to go through these. Remember, if you're in our Discord, you got to at me. I'm going to let Matt H. get away with this one. He got called out in our Discord for not adding me. You got to at me, baby. All right, Matt H., what are Vanover's chances of being drafted and potential in the NBA? I have no idea this year. I don't know. Obviously, it's just too soon to make any kind of statement or guess about who gets drafted, their potential. I mean, I like what I see. If he plays this way throughout the rest of the year, yeah, I mean, there's potential there. With that 7'3" frame, he could stretch the floor. Forget about it. I mean, that's needs to put some meat on the bones, though. He can get pushed back inside if you watch him. He can get pushed around a little bit because he doesn't have a whole lot of meat. I've got some he could borrow. I've got more than enough meat for everybody here. Gavin Pratt says, Ty, how has COVID affected our recruiting? Has it impacted negatively or positively for football? I'm going to say negatively. It's been a big impact. I've said before, Sam Pittman is the kind of guy that he's got to be in the living room with mom and dad, with the siblings, with family, with the recruit, with the prospect. And you can't do that with this extended dead period. You can't have any contact in person with these recruits at their homes. And that's him and his strength. That's what Sam Pittman does. You know, and that's a good question, Gavin. I appreciate it. But it's been a big disadvantage. It has. Absolutely. I think Arkansas, it will have an impact. Right now, we look great, right? And if you get a couple of these, I think they've got 2 spots left. And if they get who I think they get, yeah, it's going to look great. Okay, you're top 20, you're top 25, top 20 recruiting class, but then comes early signing period, then you're going to see Arkansas start to drop. And that's just the nature of these things. Jay Haas Jr., well, since you so kindly asked, Hammonds and Smith, 1-2 punch thoughts. You know, someone had a really good point about two smaller frame guys, running the football, and look, Hammonds is explosive. We've seen it. Treylon is a capable back. You gotta have good run blocking. Without good run blocking and holes opening up, it won't really matter, will it? But I like the idea of Hammonds and Smith back there. if we can get Hammonds involved in just running the ball out of the backfield, not on these goofy end arounds and double reverses. Thoughts on the FBS separating from the NCAA? I won't answer that one. Odds on beating Mizzou and the Band Geek. Like I said, I don't like Arkansas's odds here. I think Mizzou's just playing better football right now. Arkansas, yeah, they had some time to prepare, but I don't think I think Arkansas has been exploited a little bit. I think their cover four has been exploited. You know, they've got some issues. The freshman Hudson Clark gets, I mean, he gets picked on. And man cover, like he looks like he needs a little work in man cover skills. He is taller, right? 6'2 and a half, 180 pounds, but he's like a 4'6, high 4'6 guy. He's not super fast. He gets beat on those on man coverage. He's been exploited. And he gets picked on. Mo Brown's been pretty effective this year, but yeah, I think Mizzou probably has seen enough to on film to say to be prepared. Drinkwitz has look. Let's face it. He's been a pretty good hire for them year one. If you win, you sweep all the new coaches. That's big time. That's big time. Devin H. Do we see that power back you mentioned in your video this week against Mizzou because Traylon won't cut it? Johnson, I believe his name is. Yeah, Johnson, 6'2", 6'1 and a half, 6'2", 235, 240, somewhere in there. He looks like your traditional fullback out of the I formation. You know, he looks like an I formation power back. Or remember Darius Howard back before McFadden came along? He reminds you a little bit of that. I've watched quite a bit of film on him. He is, you know, not the speediest back, but he is physical. He can run pretty physical. I did talk about him. I don't know if we see him or not. There's been some injury concerns there with Johnson. I think he got banged up a couple times this year. I'm not so sure if he's had COVID. Obviously, they can't release that information. But it's similar to a couple other guys, a couple other freshmen that came in this year. Kind of thought we would see them eventually, especially Johnson with Spivey in the transfer portal. Now you don't have Rakeem Boyd. You wonder about the durability. Can Traylon, if you play, I mean, the Mizzou game should be happening, but if you do play a bowl game, can Traylon handle the load by himself? I don't think so. I do agree with that. I don't know that Traylon can handle 20 carries a game. I don't know that he's capable of doing that. And with two games left, that makes you wonder who does come in. Is it going to be TJ Hammonds? Do we see Johnson? Is it somebody else? I don't know. Blaine Toll? I mean, why not? He's been moved back and forth from tight end to defensive line like 15 times. That'll do it for the Discord questions. Thank you guys so much for those. We really do appreciate that. We want to make you guys a part of the show. We want to make you feel like you're a part of what we do here. And if you're curious, if you want to join in on our Discord and want to get in on these questions for the Friday show, you can. Yeah, there's a link on our Twitter bio. You just click that, and if you don't have a Discord account, you create one. It's free. Discord's pretty awesome. Gets a little rambunctious on game days. I love it. It's good stuff. So that will do it for this segment. Next up, Kyle, Adam Spencer. Next. We'll see you guys. I will see you guys next week. Stick around. Woo pig.
Located in Fayetteville, Wrapology is your top spot for banners, signs, and wraps. From commercial fleet wraps, color changes, vinyl decals, and much more, they take care of you in a timely and professional manner. Call Wrapology today at 479-368-6490. Again, that's 479-368-6490.
We're back on episode number 145 of the Hog Talk Podcast. Kyle Sutherland here, and I am joined now on the Workman's Travel Center hotline by Saturday Down South rider and a favorite, I say that very lightly, among Razorback fans, the guy who hates Mason Jones. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Adam Spencer. Adam, appreciate you joining. It's great to talk some football with you.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for having me on.
So we'll get started. Again, well, first off, I'll tell the Mason Jones story. I know that many of you listening will probably remember. I guess it was Adam maybe about close to a year ago. Well, or towards the back end of the basketball season when you started making your five picks for SEC Player of the Year, even though the Razorbacks had a losing record. I think that definitely I saw your case. I certainly did. But I think that pretty much everybody that covers the SEC, some around the nation, had said that Mason deserves to be the SEC player of the year because of how he's played and all this stuff. Well, Adam puts his out, and Razorback fans did not like that. But to your credit, you did eventually put him in there. So but I'm sure you didn't hear about that part. You probably just heard about how you left him off.
Oh, of course. And, you know, I was a little lower on him than most to start, and I did come around on him. To be fair to me, too, he did finish the season really, really strong. So when I first started, he was like, he should have been in there. But like, I still would have voted at the end of last year. Even then, I still would have voted for Emmanuel Quickly, just because I do value, you know, the MVP player of the year. Like, that's so subjective and stuff like that. There's obviously some different voters who value different things. So I still would have picked Emmanuel Quickly if I had to vote for one, but like, I was glad to see that he was at least the co-player of the year, because just the way that he could score was just incredible. And the way that he carried the team when Joe was not 100%, like, yeah, I definitely came around on Mason Jones last year. So it just took me a while to get there.
Yeah, definitely understandable. And I'm glad that he did get his shot. I had said all offseason, really after he had mentioned that he was going to go for the draft, that he really had nothing left to prove this year. It was kind of a sucky spot because you didn't think you were going to get drafted, but, or at least we didn't think that. And that's many of us. And that's the way that it ended up being. But he's with the Houston Rockets now, has a chance to continue to prove people wrong. And looking forward to basketball season. We have gotten that rolling, but we got a pretty important game just a little bit this coming up weekend that we weren't able to play over Thanksgiving. I know that you and I have been talking for a couple of weeks trying to set this up. And really, you know, the first couple of storylines are pretty obvious there. You've got Drinkwitz on your sidelines, a Alma, Arkansas grad that went to Arkansas Tech. And then, of course, spent some time with Gus Malzahn, as you'll see a lot in the offense that he runs, an offensive guru. And I'll be honest with you, Adam, I was really hard on Missouri. I thought that was a terrible hire, not because I don't think that he's an offensive mind. Again, like I just said, I mean, he's proven that, but I was just, you know, the 1 year of coaching experience, which that's one of the things that scared me about Sam Pittman, was great recruiter, very well established coach, but no head coaching experience. But you can't say enough about both of these teams. We're picked to finish anywhere from 11th to last, by depending on who you asked. And I know that you guys, and Missouri as a fan base, has to be very pleased that you have a winning record as we get close to the end of the season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I was a fan of the Drinkwitz hire at the time. I wasn't at first. I wanted Mike Leach, and now, like, I'm kind of glad that that didn't really pan out. But, you know, after the initial round of names came out, then the second round of names was like Jeff Monken, the guy at Army. There was Willie Fritz from Tulane, and then like Troy Calhoun from Air Force were like all mentioned as potential candidates. And like those names just didn't really do anything for me or for most of the fan base. So then to like go from that to Drinkwitz was just like, I was thrilled with that hire at the time, just based on how they sort of listened to fan reaction and changed courses and still got a guy like that. And then he just hit the ground running, man. Like he's been incredible ever since. Like just his celebration after they landed Enos Rakestraw, after he committed to Mizzou over Alabama, that's the kind of energy that had been missing from the program. And again, I'm sure we'll talk about him in a second plenty, but with Barry Odom. But you know, the end of the Barry Odom era, was the recruiting was kind of stagnant, and but you know, that's why I think that Odom also ended up in a great place, because he can't be the guy who's the face of the program. You need a guy like Sam Pittman who can, with all of his yes sirs and his personality and stuff like that, to really. So yeah, I think both of our schools made amazing hires this offseason, and the turnarounds that both of our programs have gone through have shown that.
I want to get into Barry Odom, but I want to point out quickly, you mentioned about how whenever he would make that celebration for the commitment, I think he picked you guys over, like, I want to say Alabama. It was some pretty big schools. I do remember when that happened, but he's kind of been, reminds me a little bit of Brett Bielema, except he's actually winning his first year. But in terms of, he takes those light shots, like he took that light shot at Arkansas on National Signing Day when he said the school down south is getting these recruits or whatever. I was paraphrasing, but I kind of like how he has, it's not, I don't want to say I guess you could say cocky, but I would say more of just like a light shade of arrogance. But the reason why I feel like he's doing that is to really, he's a young guy. He's only been a head coach of really almost 2 years now. So I feel like he's trying to establish himself. And I actually really like what he's done in terms of making that. Well, I can talk some crap a little bit here and there in an extremely under the radar manner, but I can also back it up. And that's what he's done with a 4-3 record.
Oh yeah. And I agree with you that he's called it like it is. Basically, he said this week, even he said, yeah, I negatively recruit other programs, and like everybody does that. Like, that's not a secret, but like coaches don't want to admit it there, but they'll, you know, everybody, you know, Dabo Swinney will complain about everybody's negatively recruiting against us. Jim Harbaugh does it, you know, and Tom Herman's doing it now. And it's just like, yeah, they are. You're doing the same thing though. So like, well, it's no secret that coaches do whatever they have to do to get top guys to come to their program. So I don't know why that's groundbreaking, but I'm glad that Eli Drinkwitz said it. And I liked that he, you know, in the build up to the Florida game too, he was like, yeah, I'm not releasing my injury report until you get the other coach to do it, because Dan Mullen wasn't doing it. So, you know, like he's not afraid to say, like, he's not afraid to point out like these things about college football that we all know are happening. You know, there's gamesmanship with the injury reports, there's gamesmanship in recruiting, and he's open about it. And he's just like, yeah, and he's a great Paul Feinbaum guest too. So, I mean, that's going to be great for the program, because if you have a guy like Lane Kiffin, who can, you know, stay in the media spotlight, and now Drinkwitz is doing that too, that's only a benefit for your program.
Let's back up to almost exactly a year ago. You guys were coming off a weekend where you beat Arkansas for the fourth consecutive year in a row for the Battle Line Trophy. And it was pretty clear, I think, especially probably from someone in your position that covers Missouri, that you knew that Barry Odom was going to be on his way out. Was that I know he had exactly a 500 record there. Was that something that you were a fan of personally, or did you maybe think that he deserved one more year?
I think it was time for a change. Just the way that, you know, even now, again, like going back to recruiting, Drinkwitz is getting a lot more guys from St. Louis than Odom was. And that's a big key to success for Mizzou. You know, that's where you got to get players from. If you're in the state of Missouri, you got to be able to beat out, you know, Illinois hasn't been a big factor there recently, but now you get, like, it's such a talent rich area that you get Ohio State, you get Oklahoma's, you get Notre Dame's coming into the area, you know, like Zeke Elliott got out and went to Ohio State. So, and this running back, I forget his name right now, but whoever Notre Dame's top running back is, I believe he's a St. Louis area guy too. And, you know, these guys have to stay at Mizzou. That's how you build a successful program at Mizzou. And Drinkwitz seems to realize that. And like I said, just the program was a bit stagnant under Odom. I think he's a great guy, and he's clearly proving that he's an incredible defensive coordinator, but that was never the issue at Mizzou. It wasn't about the defense, you know, it wasn't about that. Like, honestly, if he would have taken a demotion to defensive coordinator, like, I would have been happy to, but you can't do that to a person's pride. Like, he was never going to stay at Mizzou and just take a demotion. So, yeah. You know, it was just time for all parties to move on. And I wish he didn't end up at one of Mizzou's rivals, of course, but yeah. I'm happy he's having success.
I want to, you mentioned rivalry, and that was the next thing that I was going to get into, but I realized, I think as soon as I asked that question, that I said, let's fast forward to last year. So I got to correct myself. I got to correct myself like 30 minutes later and say, I meant to say rewind. I worry about little things like that, but we talk, that was another thing I wanted to mention to you. We talk about this rivalry deal, and I know that it was kind of forced with Jeff Long creating that trophy, being at least the mastermind behind that, or one of them. Do you think it's at that point yet? Because Adam, I'll tell you, I actually posted something on Twitter earlier, and I think that it will be at some point, because I think it's going to continue to be a game that we see Thanksgiving weekend, or at least that we see every single year playing for a trophy. You think about LSU and Arkansas. Now, LSU fans don't look at Arkansas as a rival. They hate Alabama. They don't really care about our game for the most part. But whenever that trophy came about in the mid to late 1990s, And we had some of the games that we've had Arkansas fans look at it that way. I do think that at some point Missouri can be like that. The more and more we play, especially with the connections that we have this year and probably will for the next few years. But where do you see this standing right now? I guess this is what, the eighth year that we're playing for the Battle Line Trophy. So where do you see it as we stand right now?
Well, yeah, like you said, you know, if and when we get back to a bit of normalcy here with college football and fans and stands and all that, you know, the Black Friday, the Friday after Thanksgiving, like, I think that's a great day, and they've carved that out. You know, the past few years that's been the, like, featured on CBS on the Friday after Thanksgiving. And like, that's like, just that sort of exposure is how rivalries get built. And honestly, I think the fan bases are getting there too. You know, just the amount of hate that goes both ways in this rivalry, with fans arguing that it's not a rivalry, is just like, that's what makes it a rivalry, is because you guys are all getting so fired up about how it's not and how you have bigger fish to fry. But I like it, Mizzou's not going to be getting back to Kansas on a regular basis, you know? So, you know, we need to find a new rival, and Arkansas makes sense. I mean, you know, Arkansas and Missouri, I'm sure I'll get crushed for this, but they're similar states. You know, they got, you know, there's a lot of similarities between the states. They're right next to each other. So they have all the makings of a good rivalry. And now that Sam Pittman's there, and you got the Barry Odom flavor down at Arkansas, and Mizzou seems to be trending in the right direction with Eli Drinkwitz, you know, that's what builds a rivalry. And I can't wait to see the game this year, because I think it's going to be really even. And if that continues, then it should be an intense rivalry over the next few years anyway.
Well, and you also look at about 10 years ago in the basketball front, it kind of happened with Mike Anderson. So by the time that Missouri got into the SEC in 2013, it was already there. So I do see it coming. I think you make a great point about, if we're arguing about it, if we're getting fired up, then yes, then that does show you at least that we're getting there. I don't know. I respect Missouri. Again, like I told you, I've got a lot of family that went there that are fans, but I don't know. I'm not quite there yet. But we talked about the headlines to the game. I want to start off with Connor Bazelak. I'm sure I probably just butchered his name, but completed 70% of his passes for 1,600 yards, but he's only got 5 touchdowns. Now, I have not watched a ton of Missouri. I have caught not a full game, but I've caught at least maybe a half of one. I think I want maybe watch the Kentucky Missouri game maybe, but I haven't seen a lot of them. And is it really just one of those deals where he's moving them down the field and then they usually just finish it off with Roundtree, or how is that playing out that he only has 5 touchdown passes, but a pretty substantial amount of yards?
Yeah, he has a couple of rushing touchdowns too, I think. So, you know, he's getting the ball down there, and yeah, like you said, he's guiding the defense, or he's guiding the offense down there, down the field. He's got weapons all over the place. He's gotten Jalen Knox more involved. He's Towski Dove has become a star, but you know, he's getting the offense down into the red zone, and then it's the Larry Roundtree show. You're right. Like, that's exactly what it is, that he's the guy that they give it to on the goal line. You know, they can also get it to Beatty in space, and Beatty's had a couple of big plays for touchdowns. And honestly too, it's just like, you look at these scores, and outside of the big offensive performance against LSU, and outside of the 41-0 shutout of Vanderbilt last weekend, like, they're not scoring a lot. Like, that Kentucky game wasn't particularly offensive heavy. And, the South Carolina win wasn't that, again, like, they didn't run up the score or anything. So there aren't a ton of touchdowns going around exactly. So he's doing, but like, I do think he's a redshirt freshman, and this is a really encouraging sign for the future, what he's doing this year, and just the way that they're developing these receivers who are going to be around for the next couple of years too. So I know Roundtree's gone, but you know, he's been a star for as long as he's been at Mizzou. He's had 4 big seasons with the Tigers, and he's going to be awesome wherever he ends up in the NFL. But yeah, he's just been the touchdown vulture this year. And that might continue as we continue in the season too.
You touched on your defense, and led by Nick Bolton has been a surprise, just like Arkansas's defense has been a surprise. We've slipped some, but compared to what we've been the last few years, it's just been amazing to actually see that we can tackle and do the basic stuff. But three out of the past four games, Missouri's only averaged or allowed averaging 7 points per game. Now, I know that it's you can say, oh, it's South Carolina, oh, it's Vanderbilt. They don't even have head coaches anymore. That's not Missouri's fault. I mean, they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're doing their job. Is it a surprise to you to see how well that the D has been playing?
A little bit. Yeah. I thought that they were going to have some trouble with the secondary and stuff, but Martez Manuel has really stepped up, and Tyree Gillespie is really playing much better than he even did last year. So, Nick Bolton, when you've got a guy like that leading your defense, I mean, that guy's just a stud. But I mean, you guys at Arkansas know about stud linebackers on your defense right now too. So, you know, that's going to be a fun battle to watch between, I mean, I know they're not going to be on the same field at the same time, but Grant Morgan and Nick Bolton going head to head. I mean, that's about as good as it gets in college football right now in terms of a linebacker battle. And then, yeah, just they've been good on the back end. You know, they've had a couple games where they've allowed a lot of points, but you know, that was LSU before Miles Brennan got hurt. I mean, he got injured in the game against Mizzou, but yeah. And then they've, like you've said, they've faced some lackluster, let's say, offenses, but you know, Kevin Harris at South Carolina is one of the best running backs in the SEC, and Kentucky's rushing attack is really solid. So against the run, they're incredible. And I think that's a credit to Ryan Walters, who, you know, this might be the last year that we see him running the Mizzou defense, because he might be on to a head coaching job of his own before too long.
Adam, as we close out here, I got to put you on the spot like I do everybody. I'm going to get your prediction, and I, you know, you got to factor in what you just mentioned about how Missouri's got a really good run defense. Rakeem Boyd, of course, opted out earlier this week, so we've also had another transfer portal guy in Amonte Spivey. He entered, I want to say, about a month ago, so you're pretty low on running back. And with Missouri's run defense, you do have to factor that part in. But how do you see this going? This is a big game for both of us. Realistically, Arkansas's last chance to win a game as they play Alabama next week, possibly. You guys might possibly still have to make up a game with Mississippi State. How do you see this going?
I think this is going to be a really close game. I think Mizzou's favored by 3, which is generally, you know, what they give to the home team. So that seems to be, you know, the gambling guys think that it's pretty much even. And I think that it's going to be a really close game. I think that we're going to see our team scoring in the same, you know, low 20s that we normally see. But I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to pick my guys, Mizzou. So I've got them winning 21-20, just really close game, really exciting finish late. That's what I think. And that's going to be really good for this rivalry too.
See, I'm going to pick the Razorbacks 33-27. I'll admit that I don't wholeheartedly believe that, but it's the last time that I'll be able to pick them. Assuming we're going to go to a bowl game, it's looking like, but you know, we don't know that we're going to make it there, but I don't wholeheartedly believe that, but I'm just going to say it so I can pick them one more time this year. But I do think that it's going to be, I mean, even I know last year, or maybe it was it 2018, maybe it was even the last 2 years. I don't even know that you guys have beat us up pretty good, but I feel like one of those 2 years under Chad was actually not so bad. I feel like we played like a million quarterbacks against you guys last year, but yeah, man, it's definitely a crunch time for the Razorbacks. It's crazy to think that we haven't won that game in 4 years. You would think that it'd be a little bit more competitive. But as you said, I think both of us are in good positions with the head coaches that we have. And so just thankful to make it to this point. Really didn't. You know, we were talking, I cover high school ball as well, and we're going to do the 7A and the 6A state championships this weekend. And we didn't think we'd get there. So, I mean, you know, looks like we're going to get to play at least a little bit of basketball, which when do we play you guys in basketball? Do you know?
I'm not sure on the SEC schedule yet, but it's a day by day thing with basketball. At this point.
You never know. Well, and that's the thing too. We always have to put an asterisk beside it. We don't know if we're going to make it there, but Adam, it was great talking with you, and definitely want to talk with you more, especially down the road once we get into basketball, if we get there.
Yeah, sounds good. Should be a good year for all involved.
Definitely. Well, that will do it for episode number 145. Guys, as always, thank you so much for listening. We will catch you next week. For Adam Spencer, my name is Kyle Sutherland. We will catch you next time.